stocks, bonds, ETFs, straight out of downtown Chicago. This is Zach's Market Edge.
Welcome to Zach's Market Edge, the podcast about investing in your life. I'm your host, Tracy Reinick, and this week I'm joined by Zach's Director of Research, Shiraz Mian, to talk about what earnings season is looking like, but from the small cap perspective. We've gotten about 37% of the S&P 600 index already in, already reported, and so we've got some results coming in. And, you know, the small caps have been really overlooked for at least the last year. And it's about time we took a look at them to see if maybe there's a buying opportunity there. The small cap index, the S&P 600, is up just 8.7% this year. And in any other year, saying, oh, it's only 8.7, that would actually be pretty good. But in this year, when we have the S&P up 14.1, the Dow Industrials are up 17.6, and the NASDAQ is still off to the races. That's up about 24%. To get the small caps up under 10% compared to those numbers, you do feel like you're missing out a little bit, Shiraz, like when, you know, the small caps really seem to be lagging. So what's going on with the small caps now that we are getting some of them reporting in? Should I be paying more attention? I feel like I should. And that they are being overlooked.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point that the performance lag relative to the large caps, they have been just simply off the radar on the investment horizon. I've been always very curious to see the divergence, not so much in investors' perception of the small cap and large caps, but also in the actual performance, earnings performance for the small caps. And in a big part of the lack of attention to small caps, and as a result, the underperformance of the space, could be explained by how these guys have been performing on the earnings front over the last couple of years. And relative to the S&P, they have been laggards. They haven't really been doing too good. And it's not just the energy drag that dragged everyone down. These guys have been struggling. You mentioned that about a third have reported.
Yeah.
It's a good showing. The expectation is that starting this quarter or this earnings season, we're talking about Q3 in terms of earnings. Now we are in Q4. But starting with the Q3 earnings season, the growth picture for the small cap space changes. We had declines the last few quarters. We have positive growth in Q3 and going forward. So hopefully that changes the stock market perception for the space as well.
Now, I took a look to see what are the sectors that are the biggest ones in the S&P 600. And number one was industrials. They're about 17%. Number two is tech. That's about 16%. But number three is financials, almost 16% there too. And then you have a big chunk of consumer cyclicals. And that hasn't been a great area either. So I took a look at that and thought, well, it has to be a lot of what's happened with the banks the last couple of years. These small cap banks have been struggling with the rates so low. You know, they haven't been able to grow the earnings like we normally would see in, you know, a up economic cycle.
Absolutely.
And being such a big chunk, that has to be a factor.
Yeah, no, it is. The financials are a big contributor to earnings in the small cap, and financials, particularly in the small area, are more in the traditional community banking side versus the more money management or investment banking, as is the case in the large cap. And the profitability of smaller banks moves a lot with changes in interest rates. And as the net interest margin has stabilized and improved recently, and we saw that in some of the results for the large caps as well. That's showing up in the earnings outlook for the small caps as well. Financials, on top of the interest rate sensitivity, they're also primarily domestic businesses. These smaller banks really don't have any international operations. And with all this talk about tax cuts and deregulation and all of that, that's helping improve the stocks as well as the earnings outlook for those groups as well.
So you have a lot of data on the earnings outlook, and I see that last quarter, in the second quarter, we actually have the earnings, and they declined 11.5% for the S&P 600. And then this quarter, as you already mentioned, they're supposed to rebound up 8.3%. And then we start to see like what looks like really sharp acceleration. The fourth quarter, the current estimates are up 18%, and then first quarter, 24%, and then there's actually a 28% estimate increase for the second quarter. So is that because of the banks and what may be happening there?
A big part of that is banks, less drag from the energy sector, and a generally favorable outlook for the U.S. economy. But a big chunk of that is finance. If you look at the numbers on an ex-finance basis, the growth pace, the expected growth pace declines in a big way. And that's all a function of expectations for interest rates and the resulting impact on net interest margins for the banks. So the expectation is turning for the space. The expectation is that the times of struggle are now behind us, at least for the small caps. Good times in terms of earnings and profits lie ahead. 2018 and 2019 look quite promising, at least from relative to current expectations for earnings for the smaller.
How accurate are those kinds of estimates, though? With the small caps, there's less analysts, obviously,
That's
covering
right.
them. Did we see other periods where they were this optimistic and then it never happened, or you know, it was way below expectations?
Sure.
Or do they get it kind of close?
I think what we see typically with the large caps is a good proxy for this segment of the market as well. I wouldn't say that the small cap analysts are any worse or any better than the analysts
right,
that cover
right.
the large caps. There is some comfort in large numbers. So when you have a couple of dozen analysts covering a stock, you have a little more comfort in those estimates relative to these guys. But in general, the analyst community is prone to overshooting on the optimism side. They overshoot on the pessimism side as well. The overall mood is on the optimistic side right now. We see that in the large cap space as well. Estimates for the S&P 500 are holding up a lot better than at least what I've been used to seeing over the last few years. And some of that is showing up in the earnings outlook for the small caps as well.
What about corporate tax cuts? As we're recording this, the Congress, the House hasn't released the actual plan yet. But I know small cap investors, they have been getting a little bit nervous, and you can see some sell-off in the small cap companies when there's rumors out that the corporate tax cuts may be, not automatic instantaneously the entire cut, that it might be dragged out over the course of 5 years, and that would not help the small companies as much as, you know, one big cut, you wouldn't think. So what play does that have? Obviously, the analysts for future earnings aren't even considering the tax
That's
cut.
Right. Yeah, so the positive earnings outlook that you touched on earlier for the small caps, that does not reflect any kind of tax cut. Whether it's an accelerated cut version or something that comes through over a number of years, will be an add-on to the current positive expectations for earnings growth in the small cap. You're right. If it's a slow unfolding cut that spans a number of years, its impact will be smaller, but probably will be more sustainable as well. Net, it's a positive development for stocks in general, for smaller stocks in particular. These are more domestic-oriented players. The effective tax rates in general for the S&P 600 company is much higher than the S&P 500 company.
They can't flee to Ireland as easy.
That's right. That's right. They will benefit. I've seen estimates. We haven't done any calculations ourselves in-house, but I've seen estimates ranging from 15% to 20% on the high side as the earnings impact of a tax cut to the S&P 600 equivalents or the Russell 2000 equivalents. So a huge boost for earnings growth for these guys.
Yeah, that would be enormous.
Yeah.
What areas are the hottest so far this earnings season in terms of, revenue growth and that kind of thing? Like what sector should I be looking at for right now?
I think we'll see plenty of momentum on the energy side. In the small cap space, most of the financial results have come out and on balance, they have been good. But as you mentioned at the top, we are about one third with the small cap results. We are quite further along with the large cap, so we have a much clearer picture. And the Q3 earnings season is emerging as an inflection point, so it's a little bit different from the trend we have been seeing over the last few years. I think, in addition to energy, we should see plenty of momentum on the materials and the industrial side as well. And given all the momentum and strength we are seeing in consumer, hopefully down the road we'll see some gains on the retail side as well, particularly since that sector has been so beaten down already.
Yeah, that was my next question. Is small cap retail, is that just like the doom place right now? where I don't want to go?
Yeah, it's a very it's a very vulnerable area in a time when the likes of Macy's and Sears are fragile entities. You could imagine how a small cap retailer must be standing up to the Amazons of the world at this stage. But then when we are talking about stocks and when we are talking about earnings, it's a function of expectations. And the fact that retail is beaten down is no longer news. It's been around the last few years. Expectations have appropriately been anchored as a result of that. So that leaves room for outperformance as well in that space.
What about overvaluation of the entire small cap segment? I know that's been talked about a lot, that they really are expensive even though they've been underperforming.
Yeah.
Is that true?
That is true.
Okay.
That is true. Unless we see some sustainable earnings growth over the next few years, which would benefit, obviously, as we mentioned, from the tax cuts. If you look at the conventional valuation metrics like forward 12-month PE or the next fiscal year PE, I went back to 15 years and the S&P 600 is trading at a multiple that we haven't seen in the last 15 years. So valuations in the market in general are quite stretched. What we are seeing on the small cap side is even more present on the large cap side. So the fact that the small caps haven't done as good as the large caps is a comment on relative performance, but it's not a comment on valuation. Generally, if a stock has been doing bad for some period of time, one could assume that probably it's cheap.
Yeah.
Relative to earnings, the small caps are not.
If we get that earnings growth that's in the projection, though, it looks like that situation could clear itself up.
That's right. So you mentioned that the S&P 600 is up about 6-8% this year. We should tell folks that all of that gain has been since mid to late August. The index was actually in negative territory up to that time. And as these expectations about the tax cut and other changes and the outlook for the economy started improving, we saw these small cap indexes really take off. So the indexes have been kind of tapered off the last few days, but they have had some very strong momentum since about mid-August. My feeling is that if the earnings season turns out to be as good as what we have been describing here, and the macro expectations in terms of tax cuts and other things turn out along the lines of what everyone is banking on, then we should expect this momentum to continue, perhaps even better than what the large caps have been able to do.
Another thing to touch on is the earnings misses or beats for the small cap.
Yes.
I think people who are listening, you know, would want to know something about what goes on there.
Sure.
Because there just are less analysts. So should I care as an investor about the earnings misses or beats, or like the beat percentage, as much as I would with the S&P 500? Because what if there's just one analyst on a company and, you know, they happen to
Absolutely.
Get it wrong?
Yeah, no, it's a fair point. I think a good takeaway from that discussion would be that if you see a trend, then you have to make sense of it. And that trend perhaps makes even more sense for the small caps than the large caps. What we are seeing, though, in the aggregate for the S&P 600 in Q3, that the proportion of companies beating EPS and revenue estimates is about in line with what we have been seeing in recent quarters. And the growth pace from the companies that have reported already, the one-third of the index that have reported, is accelerating. It's accelerating both for earnings as well as revenues. Margins have been problematic in the small cap space. It appears that they are holding up better in Q3, and the expectation is that they will continue to hold up better in the coming quarters as well. So in answer to your question, I think, yes, we should pay attention to that in the aggregate trends. But if we find out that they are about in line with what we have been seeing in history, then that's about the extent of what we take away from that.
Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah.
Because so much emphasis is put on individual companies and their miss or beat and that kind of thing.
I think it's more important on these smaller companies as well as on the larger ones as to how management teams see the outlook for their business, whether it's getting better, whether it's the same, whether it's deteriorating. These are obviously smaller companies with finite products. They don't really have the market sway of an Amazon or a Google or a Procter & Gamble. But to the extent that they could give you an outlook for their individual product and their market, I think that's more important than whether they beat or miss a particular quarter.
Okay. Pretty excited about, you know, this outlook for the future. I hope this happens. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty shocking to see 28% possible earnings growth in the second quarter
Absolutely.
Of next year.
That's right.
Just as a comparison, the S&P right now is at 9% for that
That's
same
right.
quarter. So both are impressive numbers, actually,
That's right.
but 28%. That would be good to see. I also brought some stocks for some people who might be interested in some small cap plays today. It's really hard to invest in small cap, Shiraz,
sure.
like just in general.
That's right.
Because there's just so much less information out
That's
there.
Right.
I do rely a lot on the Zacks Rank on it
sure.
and checking those earnings estimates if they have analysts.
Sure.
That's on Zacks.com to try to find some. So I did do some screens of you know, high-ranked Zacks stocks that have already reported, because I didn't want to give them names of companies that haven't reported, because you never know what's going to go on out there. So I found three that are kind of interesting and have some of this growth potential that we've been talking about. First one is Ultra Clean Holdings, and that's UCTT. They have a market cap of about $814 million. This one's real popular. It's held in some of our portfolios here at Zacks. They're in the semi, so that's why that's popular. Now, it did miss last quarter, but the estimates are all moving higher. So it's got a good rank, and its price to sales is just 0.9. So I kind of like that as a value investor. The second company is PetMeds Express. PETS is the ticker, P-E-T-S. A lot of people know this one. This is the largest online pet pharmacy company. They pay a dividend, which I was surprised at. You don't see that very often with the small caps. It's 2.2%, which is pretty nice, actually. They're supposed to grow earnings 41% this year, and they beat by 13 cents. And those estimates are, again, rising there. And then the third stock is another hot one in the tech area, MKS Instruments. MKSI is the ticker there. They had a big beat and a big jump in the estimates. I didn't have a chance to really dive in to see what they said, but something good is going on there. Supposed to grow earnings 91% this year. Not super expensive with a PE of 18. So they're in technology solutions, whatever that is. You'd have to dig in a little bit, but it looks like they're in a lot of the hot areas like the defense side and
and life sciences too, I believe.
I think so. A lot of the back end stuff for these companies. So that's an interesting one. And then you can also just buy the ETFs. That gives you the broader range. You can buy the S&P 600. That ticker is SLY. And then, of course, the Russell 2000, just the general overall index, is IWM for a couple ETFs there. So just recapping those tickers, Ultra Clean is UCTT, Pet Med Express is PETS, P-E-T-S. MKS Instruments is MKSI. And then there's a host of small banks. I've liked the small banks for a while, Shiraz, but it's really hard to just out like one or two. Like, I've owned a couple in insider trader portfolio. I owned one called WesBanco. It's WSBC is that ticker. And that was in West Virginia. If you don't live in West Virginia, you've never heard of it.
That's right.
So there's a lot of small banks like that that are regional, and a lot have been around 100, 150 years even,
absolutely,
surprisingly. And so it's good to like kind of dig in and look around, but it's really hard to pick out like one or two small banks.
You can't do the small banks from a trading perspective.
Yeah.
You have to hold them much longer. We have had Bank of Hawaii, BOH. Yeah. Now it's a primarily Hawaii-based bank. Been there a very long time.
Yeah.
I thought the outlook for the Hawaiian economy was pretty good. And it is, but these are interest rate plays.
Right.
And they move up and down with interest rates. So,
so
BOH hasn't really done much.
Yeah, the same thing with WesBanco and a couple of the other ones that I follow that are like that. So yeah, you're buying and holding them for the next several years, most likely.
Yep.
But if you want just like a basket of those community banks, which I do find this to be an easier play, just to buy the whole basket, one of the ETFs you can buy is the community bank ETF, which is QABA is the ticker for that one. So that might be an easier way to get that financial area that could see a lot of growth in the next year or so, depending on what happens here with Washington and the Fed and all of that.
Sure.
So these are some good plays, and it's good to look at the small caps because I do feel like they're being overlooked. And Shiraz, we didn't talk that much about energy, but you know I'm going to have you on again.
Sure.
To talk about those oil plays.
Absolutely.
Because there is a lot going on in the
Absolutely.
Oil patch again.
Yep.
And we usually do that podcast kind of towards the end of the year, and we're getting in November now.
That's right.
So I'll have you on again in a couple of weeks to give all the insight into what's happening there and what the outlook might be for 2018 on energy.
Sure. Absolutely.
And as always, you can check out our old podcast, because I have had Shiraz on in the past to talk about the energy plays a couple of years in a row now. So you can check out those old podcasts on iTunes. It's worth listening in on to hear kind of, you know, how our outlook on energy has evolved over the last couple of years. But those are, as I said, on iTunes, and you can also get them on SoundCloud as well. And be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any episodes. I'll see you again next week.